Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why?
I'm not saying.
Okay. Welcome back.
Keep you guessing for an hour.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Radio Show is underway, my dudes and dudettes. Wonderful to have you. I am Rob Brown, the Grip and Lonzo, and the ones and twos this AM.
We just did a segment about mayonnaise cologne,
and I gotta say,
we're done. We're finished.
We kind of nailed it, man. We kind of nailed it, if I may say so myself. Hellman's Will Levis number 8 Parfum de Mayonnaise. For the record, I feel like we should just buy a bottle for the station. Just everybody put it on. Tell no one else in this building. Walk circles. See who says anything.
Well, I'll put a couple bucks towards it if you order it.
How much did it cost? You looked it up.
It was $8.
Eight?
Yeah.
It was $8?
For the number 8. That's what it says.
Oh, buying it now.
Yeah.
It's buying it today. Are you kidding me? That's it? I thought that was going to be like, 50, 60 bucks a bottle. $8? They got to be doing like a limited supply.
Dude, I put it in my cart just to see if it would go in my cart.
Yeah.
And it was $8. I didn't see how much shipping and handling was, but still.
We got to do it. We got to do it, right? Like, that's...
I mean, I've seen you dish out some serious cash for sunglasses after Coach Prime. This is market research,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 60
here.
Bucks for sunglasses was nothing. $8 for a bottle of mayo
parfum. Don't you
parfum?
Really want to know what it smells like?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, me too.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. This is serious. We got to... I just feel like we got to do it. I just feel like we got to do it at this point. I can't imagine not going through with this at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then we can put it on the stream. It's a market research. We'll tell you how good it smells or doesn't. I don't know.
I feel like we have to.
I secretly hope it's like stink spray. You ever see those little stink bomb things that are made out of glass? And if you
oh yeah.
Yeah. I hope it smells like that.
You know what I used to do? Is if somebody the statute of limitations are over. I used to have a bunch of those. And if somebody like parked across lines, like parked like a jerk, I would break one and pour it into the bottom of the windshield.
I am not surprised.
Filters.
Yeah. Yeah. We discovered those when I was working at Kroger's, and one of the guys who was the union rep threw them at the president of the company during a rally when we were getting ready to go on strike. Yeah, it was nasty.
Deserved.
I don't know. If you say so, I wouldn't do that. But I've had them thrown at me before. They smell really bad. So hopefully this at least smells like that. It probably, it probably smells pleasant. But if it has a coffee smell to it, I don't know. And tart lemon, the combination just, it's worth $8 though.
It is worth $8. It is absolutely worth $8. There is absolutely no doubt about that. Duke's mayo, nope, Hellman's mayo, pardon me. Second place mayo.
Can't help it.
Second place mayo has opened up a cologne with Will Levis, the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, that is a combination of football player and mayo. And the answer is, ladies, how gaga are you going for the guys when they roll up out of the shower smelling like Duke's mayo or Hellman's mayo? I'm just trying to get Dukes on board here. All right, listen, Dukes, face of Duke's mayo across the upstate, across the state, across the region, across the nation. Yeah, I'll do it. I'm your guy. I'm your Huckleberry.
All right, if this smells really bad, we go to the mall and try to get guys to, hey, dude, come on. You got to try this. Your lady will love it.
She might.
Just spray it on the wrist.
Especially, listen, if your lady loves a BLT, you know, like if you know she loves a BLT, she likes throwing a little extra mayo on the BLT. Oh, man. How's this not going to work like a dream for you?
Who doesn't love a BLT?
I love BLTs. I love BLTs, right? Stack the bacon, then throw some lettuce and tomato on there. See, toast the bread, toast the bun. Don't give me no just plain white.
Yeah. How about like a brioche or something?
I do like a brioche bun.
See, I prefer a belt. So throw an egg on there too.
Oh, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
Nice. Fried egg on sandwich, underappreciated, underutilized. I've gotten real good at the perfect fried egg. You know what the secret is to a great fried egg? I've never told anybody else this before. Secret to a good fried egg. Nobody does this right. Tell you what to do. You get that pan good and hot. All right, you get that oil good and hot up in the pot. Do not let the whole egg just sit in the oil, because then you're going to get a real crispy underside. But the top, no. What you do is after it's hot and after the egg's cooking, once the bottom of that white settles, tilt the pan towards you so all the oil comes down to the bottom. Take a spoon and baste it. All right, you scoop up the oil at the bottom. You throw it on the top of the egg so that hot oil cooks the top of the egg too. But do not throw it on the yolk. You just throw it on the white. Baste the white around the yolk. Do not throw it on the yolk. After you get it nice and covered up, set it flat, spin that egg so now you can get the spot that was behind the yolk, because you don't want to throw it on the yolk. And you don't want to set it on the white behind the yolk, because then it's going to run down onto the yolk. Set it backwards, spin it so the what was behind the yolk is now in the front. Then baste that area too. Once you get a good base and you see that real brown crispy edge around the outside, bang, it's done. Take it off immediately. There's your secret to the perfect fried egg.
Dude, that sounds like a lot of work.
Do you want the perfect fried egg, or you just want a fried egg?
I make myself an egg every morning, and it's early, so I might stick my hand in the grease. I'm not doing that.
Six quarterbacks drafted in the top 12 selections of this past NFL draft. There's going to be some booms. There's going to be some busts. Let's take a look at all of them. Here is, according to Warren Sharp from Sharp Football, he's a guy that I've actually had on the BetQL network, pretty good. I actually really enjoy his work. He put together, great one, a list of every quarterback who took snaps in preseason week one, and he compiled their efficiency ratings. The most efficient, not electric, not over the top, efficient quarterbacks, according to Sharp Football and Warren Sharp. Caleb Williams was the most efficient quarterback in the NFL's preseason week number one.
Who's he play for?
The Bears.
Can I just say bust for every single one?
Why would you do that?
Because this, like, probably the worst quarterback class in history.
That sounds to me like you're just being one of, man. That you can't do that. They haven't played a snap of NFL football yet.
I absolutely can do that by looking at the college game and seeing how I think it translates into the NFL.
You think the offense at USC was the problem? Because I'm telling you, as a ball knower, they were not. It was not the issue.
I think Chicago made a mistake, and they're going to find out.
What would you have had them do? Oh, I get it. You're mad they got rid of Justin. That's it. You're mad that they bucked a Buckeye.
What? You got mayonnaise on the brain? Why did you not get that?
They got rid of one of the horse chestnuts. Yet another Ohio State quarterback who didn't make it in the NFL.
Colonel Grudge? You named me that.
That's true. I did.
There's a reason why.
I got it now. It's because Lonzo is being one of the haters, man. Caleb Williams' most efficient quarterback, Joey B. Joey M&M, Joey Burrow, second most efficient quarterback. How about quarterback number three most efficient in the NFL in preseason week one, according to Sharp Football, J.J. McCarthy. Now, before...
How much time... Well, some of them played a little bit more than others.
Yeah.
I mean, what, did Joe Burrow get like a series or two?
Yeah, I think two. Let's point out a couple of things. Number one, what this does not include, I mean, it does include it in the rankings, but not in the in laying them out just by numbers. It does include various lengths of play. Some of these guys played a drive or two. Some of them played a full quarter. It does not include who played with them. Some of these guys had starting wide receivers out there. Some of those guys were working with wide receivers out of the gate that are fringe players trying to make a team. So I think you can read a little into these numbers, but I don't think you can go bananas over them. Like, for instance, the LV Raiders with the number four most efficient quarterback this weekend, Gardner Minshew, right? So I think, to me, what jumps off this list is not who's on it and where, except for the rooks. Because even if the rooks are out there for more or less time with the starters, which I think was the case for some of them. And by the way, if I'm an NFL quarterback and my rookie quarterback, especially if I believe, as the Bears do, that I have to play them in week one, I'm putting the starters out there with them, right? I'm putting the best I got out there with them. I want them to get into a groove. I want them to feel comfortable throwing the football, handing the football off to the guys they're going to be doing it with in the game. I'm putting the best I got out there because goal number one to me, we played you that Saban audio last week from episode one of the Bears Hard Knocks. I think episode two drops tonight. Or did it drop last Tuesday and three's out tonight? Don't know. Don't matter. They had Saban. And Saban said his theory for the reason that so many top-tier NFL or college football quarterbacks flame out at the next level is confidence. They come in with all these crazy expectations. You are the football messiah. You are the one that is going to lead our NFL franchise out of obscurity and into the promised land. That's your job. That's your role. It's a lot to heap onto a rook. That's a lot to heap onto a dude that is 20, 21 years old. 26 years old if you drafted Michael Penix Jr. That's a lot to heap on a rook. And so, to me, step one is, has always been, what am I doing to bump this guy's confidence up from the get? And the answer, if I'm playing them in preseason football, is I'm putting you out there with the ones. I'm putting you out there with the best I got. I'm putting you out there with the guys that run the best routes, catch the best ball, get the most space, yada, yada, yada. Not a bunch of guys who are, respect to them, trying to fight to make an NFL team. I'm playing the guys that are already on it. I'm playing the guys that are already know they're going to be locked in on the week one 53 man. Okay? That's how I'm doing it. So it makes it does make a difference, and I think that's part of the reason that Caleb Williams is up top. But let's also point out, if you went back and you watched, not the Hall of Fame game, but week one of the preseason for the Bears, you say what you want. Caleb Williams looked good. Caleb Williams looked good. The hell is wrong with you? I love that guy.
Now we're both. I can't play it without playing it till that.
Oh,
guy
yeah, no,
talks.
I have to hear the end now. Yeah. Just a guy in the back of the room screaming, "What the hell is wrong with you?" So many things. Sound effects guy. So many things. First two drives, Caleb Williams looked good. DJ Moore said that he was loud, precise with the calls. Everything was great. Said first two drives, it was amazing. He went out there with a bunch of confidence, and he did good. End quote. He was not alone in all of that. Jaden Daniels showed some flash. Now, in fairness, Jaden Daniels handed the ball off a lot. All right? He was kind of a handoff machine.
More than J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I like it. I like it. Again, to me, the preseason strategy for a rookie quarterback that is going to be QB1 in week one, Caleb Williams is, Jaden Daniels is. Bo Nix, meh, question mark, he didn't look awful.
Wow, there's some hope for you yet, Cade.
God. Wait, where is it? Jaden Daniels handed off a lot. Part of the reason why the Commanders came into this game with a number of injuries to the starting offensive line. They wanted to give him some live reps, but not put him in the firing line too often. Played for one drive, threw it three times. One of those three times was a dime to Dyami Brown. Another time, he ran in for a touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to the Jaden Daniels Show. What you saw out of that cat was a scaled down version of what this dude is going to be. I've said it a number of times. The last quarterback coming out of college football and into the draft that I said, I guarantee that guy is going to be magnificent in the NFL. The last guy I said that about was Lamar Jackson. Not another quarterback since then. I feel that way about Jaden Daniels. This guy is going to be magnificent at the NFL level. And I think you got a little bit of a sense of that in preseason game week number one. He was dropping dimes. He took it off the outside to get to the end zone. Defense completely ate up his fake and went the other way. This dude is going to be remarkable, and he showed it out of the get. Drake May, one series, three passing attempts. Gerard Mayo said that was always the plan for him and Jacoby Brissett, each to get one look. Here's the problem. Joe Milton came in for the Patriots. Panther fans, if you were watching this, you saw it. Joe Milton ate that thing up. With his legs. I think the first pass play he had, dropped back right, Carolina read it, they closed down that line, he scattered left, shook a couple of tacklers, took off past the line, and was gone with a capital G, and now there's a little bit of a QB controversy in New England between the rookies, because the Patriot fans are going, wait a minute, you're going to leave that on the bench?
Yeah, that's the thing. The crowd came alive when he came out there. They'll cut him. Patriots can't have that kind of charismatic quarterback.
Honestly, I'll tell you right now. There's a couple other quarterbacks that I want to get to. I want to get to Michael Penix Jr., 9 of 16 for a buck 04. I want to get to J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold in Minnesota. I want to get to Jarrett Stidham and Bo Nix. I want to get to Spencer Rattler down in New Orleans, because Spence put himself a little two-minute drive together that won New Orleans the football contest as well. I got more quarterbacks I want to talk about. I don't think there's a guy I want to talk about more than Joe Milton in New England. Because if Lonzo's right, and they decide to move on, not because he can't be QB the future, but because it would be more pressure on Drake May, I'm going to tell you right now, some team might get themselves a winner. They might get themselves an absolute winner. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. Texter said, Cade will do better in the NFL than any recent horse chestnut quarterback.
Really? So he's going to do better than CJ Stroud? He's going to do better. Did you see CJ last year? Did you see that? I don't know. I don't know if you saw CJ Stroud. Maybe.
I think you may.
Before that, I wouldn't have been able to say anybody because the quarterbacks just, for Ohio State have not done too well.
It's CJ, just CJ.
But it's still CJ. So as long as he has another year like last year.
I mean, again, I've said it a number of times. I think the AFC South is going to be a different breed of cat this year, and I mean that literally because of the cats. the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, how I feel about about Jacksonville as a whole. I got a bit of a soft spot for the football team. I do. Because they got to play in that city. I feel bad for the players. Imagine working your whole life to make it to the NFL and you get drafted to Jacksonville.
Yeah, if Urban Meyer had never went there, I don't think you'd feel that. I think he's made you feel sorry for
him. No, I've always had a soft spot for Jacksonville. Partly, and this was before I lived there and found out that it was the butthole of America. Because it is that. The Jags are a team, and for the record, it's not even really the team, it's the guys on it. The Jags are a team that not only do you have to be in Jacksonville, Florida, which if I asked Floridians to power rank the places in Florida they want to be, Jacksonville's like maybe inside the top 10. Like maybe inside the top 10. They got to live in Jacksonville. They got to live in Jacksonville and play in front of a fan base that to me is the definition of apathetic. Now, I understand why. Because since the Mark Brunell days, that team has stunk and has done nothing about it. But I feel bad. I do feel bad for the team a little bit. Same way I felt bad for, like, players on the Commanders, bum, 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 bum. So the team stinks, and they don't do anything to get better. Now, they might now with Harris on board, but we'll find out. All right. Let's get back to the conversation that we were having. Going out, we're taking a look at the rookie quarterbacks and what they did back in week one. We got through a couple of them. We were talking about Joe Milton there for just a minute. Here's what I find really interesting. As I was looking at this yesterday and going and looking at some of the numbers and projections after the first weekend of NFL preseason football. You know, I enjoy going to different message boards where fans of the teams in question gather just to kind of get a feel for how the fans of every level, from casuals all the way up to my life and mental health is dictated to me and determined by this football team. And the message boards, you usually get a pretty good sense of where everybody from the casuals to the hardcore gather. And what I found really interesting was for the Patriot fan base, the conversation was entirely centered on Joe Milton. Now, I also, you know, just to lob a grenade onto the kerosene stockpile, I also pointed out to them that you played against the largely third and fourth string of the Carolina Panther defense when Joe Milton was out there. But Joe Milton is also expected to be quarterback three on this team. Joe Milton's in a spot where he may not be a New England Patriot unless he just blows away Gerard Mayo and the coaching staff in the preseason. But they have a bit of a problem, I think. And the bit of the problem that they have is they went with Drake May. And Drake May, to me, Drake May feels like, Zoe, the definition of boom or bust, right? Like, I don't think there's a middle ground where Drake May is like a, I don't know, Sam Darnold. Like, he's good enough to stay in the league. He's good enough to float from team to team as a journeyman backup. He's good enough that if QB1 goes down for a week or two, you can plug him in there. You scale back the offense a little bit, and you still got a chance. I think Drake May is either going to be the guy that New England thinks he's going to be, or he's going to be the guy that I think he's going to be. Like, not great. And Gerard Mayo can say all he wants that the plan was always for Drake May to get one series of plays. But my thought is, if you are rolling a rook out there, even if you are throwing Drake May out there just to give him some live ball, real-time reps, you either throw it more than three times or you leave him out there for more than one 11-play series, right? I mean, I'm not a head ball coach. I'm just the guy who knows ball and calls himself coach. But that, did you see anything? And most of you guys being Carolina fans, I know you've spent some time on it. Zoe, did you see anything against Carolina out of Drake May that made you go, yeah, that's a first round pick?
No.
I didn't either.
It was, but it's, especially since Tom Brady left, this is kind of what they've been doing. I mean, with every quarterback they've had there.
Yeah, I do think there is some level of comparison is the thief of joy in this, right? Like, you're not drafting the next Tom Brady. There is one Tom Brady. You're not drafting the next Patrick Mahomes. There is one Patrick Mahomes. The question is, can you hit on the next whoever? Can you hit on the next guy? And I again, it's only week one of preseason. And as was pointed out again on the show, what was it, last week, when we talked a little bit about what to expect out of rookie quarterbacks in the league this year, as we pointed out, Peyton Manning, yep, that one. Peyton Manning set the rookie record for INTs. Sometimes it takes some time for a guy to figure it out. So this is why I've said it's week one of the preseason. I am not giving up on any rookie quarterbacks, but what you can do is say, this guy showed, Jaden Daniels showed me a flash. Caleb Williams showed me a flash. Michael Penix Jr. showed me a flash. It wasn't that Penix was electrifying for the Atlanta Falcons. Because frankly, I'm not looking for Michael Penix Jr. to be electrifying. I would be looking for Michael Penix Jr. to be electrifying if Michael Penix Jr. was going to be QB1 coming into the season. If Michael Penix Jr. was going to be the guy under center for ATL, then I would say I'm looking for electrifying because this team has the opportunity to win the division. And to go back to the Patriots for just a minute, it's part of the reason that I'm not super deep into the Drake May v. Joe Milton conversation. I'm not super deep into the Drake May v. Caleb Williams conversation, Joe Milton conversation, because the Patriots have time. The Patriots have time. They don't have any expectations this year. In fact, if they have an expectation this year, it's finish last in that division, right? That's the expectation. You got Buffalo with Josh Allen. You got Miami with Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and the rest in a really good running corps. They got like three guys who could be starters on most NFL teams. And then you got the J-E-T-S, Jets, who are a betters favorite to win the AFC East this year.
All right. I'm sitting here holding my shoulder because it's hurting. And the most common cause of shoulder pain just showed up on this feed. Leave me alone, government.
Government?
You don't think that's weird?
I think it's coincidental.
Really? Is it? I've never seen this before.
No, it just wouldn't jump out at you if you've seen it before.
All these quarterbacks are going to be
selective
bus.
Recognition.
Every single one of them bus. Some of them will be out of the league in 2 years.
That might be true. Some, not all. Not all. J.J. McCarthy came in one drive after Sam Darnold. Darnold looked solid. McCarthy was 11 of 17 for a 188 and a pair of tutties. He started with a pick, but after he threw that pick and he settled in, J.J. McCarthy looked good. Kevin O'Connell said, clearly everyone can see the arm talent, end quote. Here's the thing. For a guy that I absolutely thought is probably going to be a wash, J.J. McCarthy had, honestly, he and Caleb Williams, the best start of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Did we get it wrong about J.J. McCarthy? I don't know. And then there's Stidham versus Bo Nix in Denver. I don't care. That team's going to be trash. That team's going to be trash. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. We wrap it up next. It's the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
AP Top 25 dropping yesterday evening. I'm going to come to that in just a second. I just saw this, and I think it's worth a talking point here for just a minute. Just got the updated divisional odds from the NFL from our friends at BetMGM, who, of course, bring you a bet for the cycle every Saturday, noon to 4 on the BetQL Network, which you can find on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Make sure you got that on your phone. Heart the fan upstate. You can listen to our show and our station anytime you want to. And, of course, on the Audacy app, grab the BetQL Network, and you can listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon till 4 with myself and former MLB player Cody Decker. So BetMGM just sent me the divisional odds, and there's some that are kind of interesting to me here. Great one. Let's start in the AFC East, a division that we talked about just a couple of minutes ago. When the AFC East odds opened, the Buffalo Bills were the odds-on favorite at minus 130. They are now still the odds-on favorite at minus 165. But
why?
Josh Allen.
It's got to be it. I mean, because, okay, and the defense is pretty good, but, I mean, all right.
There is another team in the AFC East that has gained a little bit of traction. That other team in the AFC East, great one, is the New York Jets. The Jets opened at plus 280. It was Bills plus 130, Jets plus 280 when this opened. The Jets are now down to plus 180 next to the Bills plus 165. But here's the interesting number. We talked about this. You know, I love what I call a public fade. That is where when X amount of the money comes in, I auto bet the other side. When X percent of the money comes in on one side, I auto bet the other side. I just assume that the public's going to be wrong and I go the other way. 52% of the ticket is coming in on the New York Jets. 80.6% of the money is on the Jets. So the Bills are the betting favorite. 19% of the ticket, 8.5% of the handle for the Jets. 52% of the tickets and 80.6% of the money is coming in on the New York Football Jets. The public is all in on the Jets right now. And it makes me very nervous for them.
What, for the public?
For the Jets.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because usually,
I mean, when Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they've got good receivers. They're a stacked team again. If he stays healthy, who knows?
So it is obviously very possible that this plays out. When Vegas has a line that is set like this, they are taking a massive risk. Because the truth is, if the money and the tickets stay this way, and again, these are odds that were updated as of yesterday. So I expect that you'll start to see the percentage of tickets and percentage of money creep up for Buffalo. By the way, the Dolphins, plus 190, they have dropped to plus 210, but their numbers as far as percentage and tickets, almost identical to the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots opened at plus 20-1. They are now 25-1 to win the division. So their odds have lengthened more than anybody else's in the leagues in the past 2 weeks. When Vegas has a number like this, a number that is generating 52% of the bets when there are four options, and a number that is generating 80% of the handle when there are four options, usually that means Vegas knows something that we do not. When they allow that much of the money and that much of the ticket to come in on a team, they know something that we don't know. They know something that makes them believe that the Jets are much more likely to not win the division than they are to win the division. And I really want to figure out what that is. I really do. Because, you know, with people, as Lonzo has accused, and I'd be not skeptical enough if I didn't say that my own inherent bias doesn't maybe play a role in this, because I am a person and I am barely fallible, but fallible nonetheless. The Jets getting this much money and this much action, I have said for a while, I think the Jets are going to be better this year. I think the Jets are going to be good this year. By the way, Hassan Reddick, former Carolina Panther, then Philadelphia Eagle, turned New York Jet, who was picked up by the Jets 4 months ago and is yet to practice for the team. Hassan Reddick has demanded a trade. He wants out of New York now. Hassan Reddick was supposed to be a, if not the centerpiece for the Jet defense, and now he wants out.
Have you seen the Jets' response?
Yeah, they basically said, bleep you, dude. The Jets GM said, yeah, we're not trading him, and we're going to focus in on the guys who actually showed up to practice, to camp. So that's kind of interesting. Jets can't have nice things. Vegas allowing 80-plus percent of the handle to come in on the Jets and not dramatically changing this number before this update came out this morning. It says to me they know something about the Jets. They've got some information on the Jets that we don't have yet. And I would like to dig to find out what that is, because that's a real interesting number. Over in the NFC South, when the odds came out, the Atlanta Falcons were the betting favorites at plus 140 to win this division, Lonzo. There are, as of this morning, three teams in the entire NFL who are minus money underdogs, or excuse me, minus money favorites to win their division. Can you guess who they are? Three teams in the NFL that are minus money favorites to win their division. Who are they? Take a stab at it. One of them's obvious and very easy.
The Panthers?
No, to win the division.
Oh, to win. I was thinking the opposite.
Minus money favorites to win the division.
The way you set this up makes me think that I'm still going to go with Atlanta.
Atlanta is one of them.
Okay. And you're talking about all divisions.
Across all eight divisions, there are three of them with a minus money favorite, a clear-cut betting favorite to win the division.
Okay, thank you for explaining the minus money thing for those. Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City is the second. There's one more. Don't overthink it.
I am overthinking it.
You are. Perhaps,
is it in the NFC?
It is.
San Francisco.
That is correct.
Okay.
Atlanta, Kansas City, and San Francisco are the only three teams in the NFL that are minus money favorites, meaning you have to bet more to win less. Again, the quick betting for noobs is if it is plus money, it's like plus 110, that means you are adding money to the money that you win at a bet. So if it's plus 110 and you bet $100, you win $110 back. Minus money means you are taking money away from the money that you bet in the prize that you got. So if say it's minus 150, that means you have to bet $150 to win $100. That's usually what happens, because it means that that is the likeliest outcome. You are betting the likely outcome, so you get less money for making a less courageous bet. Plus money means you are betting on a less likely outcome, so you are rewarded with a larger bet payout if your unlikely bet is what happens. The Atlanta Falcons open at plus 140 to win the division. As of yesterday, great one. The Atlanta Falcons are now minus 120 favorites to win the division, meaning you got to bet a buck 20 to win a buck back. 35% of the ticket and 60-plus percent of the handle, the money bet, is coming in on the Atlanta Falcons to win the division. The odds for everybody else, the Carolina Panthers opened at 8-1. They are now 11-1, meaning that after one preseason game, the bettors decided they got zero interest in the massive upset for the Panthers to go worst to first in the NFC South, something that, by the way, has been relatively common in the NFC South over the past, what, 15 years? We've had how many first to worst to first? Didn't we have like a string of like 6 years consecutive that a team went worst to first?
Then Tom Brady came and Tampa Bay won like every year. Barely, but still won.
Correct. The Atlanta Falcons opened to plus 140, now minus 120. So a lot of money coming in on Atlanta. Carolina opened at 8-1. They are now 11-1, but they do have 29% of the ticket coming in on them, meaning that they're not getting a lot of the money, only 14% of the handle, but they do have a lot of people taking upset tickets on them at 11-1. The New Orleans Saints opened at plus 280. They are now plus 375. So their odds have gotten longer. They are also the least bet on team to win the NFC South, as they are getting 12.5% of the tickets and 8.4% of the money. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they opened at plus 230. They are now plus 300 to win the division, but they have 23% of the tickets and 16.5% of the money, meaning that right now, what Rob Brown told you 3 months ago is correct. The ATLians are the betting favorite to win this division, which should come at a shock to exactly and precisely no one that listens to this show.
With your boy Kirk.
Kirko! Kirky! Taking Atlanta from not good to good enough to win this dumpster fire of a division.
Kirko is less cringy than Kirky.
Kirko!
Kirky is just cringe. I believe that's what the kids say.
By the way, you guys went from plus 750 to plus 550 to win the Super Bowl. So the money coming in heavy on the Chiefs. The Texans had the second biggest move from plus 2,500 to plus 1,600. And the Pack from plus 2,500 to plus 1,600.
Texans with an Ohio State quarterback. Take that, Texter. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Hooters.
Hooters is trending. Hooters is trending. I know Hooters has closed a lot of restaurants lately, but I'm going to say they're trending because a photo went viral of some celebrity at a Hooters yesterday.
All right, so I don't know why, but if you click on Hooters, guess what you get?
Hooters girls.
Yeah, so obviously. So that's all I saw.
What else would you get, and why else would you get it?
Maybe it's just trending for that reason.
Oh, maybe it was $1.5 million worth of stolen wings, lady. We found out that she was operating her own Hooters in her basement.
Yeah, maybe it was her. It could be. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill is trending because Tyreek Hill said yesterday that he believes that he could take on Olympic gold medalist and fastest man on the planet, Noah Lyles, said he believes he could beat him in a 100-meter race. And I am going to say that I love this. And I love this not because it's true. It's not. I love this because for the first time in his life, Tyreek Hill is learning what all the rest of us feel like when we tell our buddy, I could still dunk. No, you can't, Greg. Stop.
Well, look, as always, when they come up with these things, we can make the race happen. I would like Xavier Worthy to be in there, too.
You would like Xavier Worthy to be in there?
In the race.
The rookie.
Yes. In a race. It's a race. You know, the fastest guy ever at the NFL Combine, that guy?
Yeah, big difference between, and Tyreek would learn this too, big difference between route running speed, 40 speed, and 100-meter dash speed.
A lot of these guys have track backgrounds, though. They know how to get their feet in the blocks. They know how to do that sort of thing. So I don't think you can immediately go, yeah, that football player has never been on track. because a lot of guys do stuff all year round.
100 meters, by the way, 109.361 yards. So you are running from one goal line out of the end zone on the other side effectively.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
We need to research and find out if Tyreek Hill has ever run track, because it wouldn't shock me if he has.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so
a lot of the fastest guys in the league ordinarily, right. You're right, have a track background.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he would understand the technique and be able to compete in that venue.
Let's see. A native of Douglas, Georgia, Tyreek Hill attended Coffey High School, where he won both the 100 meter and 200 meters at the 2012 Georgia 5A state meet. On May 6th, Hill ran a season best in the 100 meter at 10.19 seconds. Noah Lyles' 100 meter time was 9.79. So Noah Lyles at 27 outran Tyreek Hill at 17, 18-ish by almost a full half a second, which in track time is forever.
That is true. Still want to see it because, you know, nerves may come into play.
What is Tyreek Hill now?
I also just want to see how much faster he is than Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek's 30 now.
And also maybe Tyreek will quit throwing out these challenges after he got his butt handed to him. But you never know. All right. The last thing that is X-ing is Mark Henry.
I believe in Mark Henry. Friend of the show, Mark Henry, the world's strongest man at one point, is trending because he did a podcast and announced that his favorite radio interview ever was on the Rob Brown Show.
He didn't even have to do that. We knew. We could tell the joy when he was here. He showed up at Raw last night with his son. His son is about to, or has already signed with WWE.
Was he wearing a salmon-colored suit?
He was not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because it's not about him. It's about his boy.
If he was wearing a salmon-colored suit, I would have been scared for everyone else.
Someone going to get the butt kicked. Yeah.
Somebody about to get their wig split. Hey, that's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, sucks to be you. Come back tomorrow. We're going to try again, but do better. For the great one, Lonzo, my name is Rob Brown. I'll drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a lovely rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you back here to do it all over again on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.